Alors, excusez-moi, je viens de la Suisse, oui, de la Suisse allemande, peut-être c'est difficile. Non. Mais je vais parler en anglais parce que pour moi c'est plus simple. Je suis suisse allemand, je pensais aussi pour vous c'est mieux si c'est bon comme ça. Hein? Oui. So, I will. Okay, I think now you see it, yes. So, I come from the University Hospital of Zurich in Switzerland. I'm an intensivist as a senior consultant and a deputy head, and we work since a long time with Radiometer first automatic, and I was also I'm still responsible for IT integration. I built the whole IT system for the whole hospital for acute care. That means anesthesia, ICU, NICU, and so on. So we go now, I try if that goes now to the legs. Yes, so I think we speak about digital transformation in healthcare. So it's, this is, I know you hear that every day. It's automation. We need data for big data, for research, for clinics. AI is here. I have to tell you, it's really here. Even we don't believe it. It goes quite quickly. I can't tell you why, and so on. I think you know that. So then I looked a little bit. I was interested because I know where is Switzerland. There is the so-called Digital Health Index in Europe, and we are neighbors. That's great. So, but you see, we are not in the top of the European digitalized healthcare systems, but seems to be quite similar. Then I looked a little bit what is going on in France, because I just know our country system, and there are beautiful websites, there are really fabulous, fantastic prospects in Switzerland. There are millions of Swiss francs every week, but it's difficult in Switzerland, I can tell you. I hope it's easier in France. In Switzerland, it's really extremely difficult, the digitalization, because we are a federal system. That means every hospital is on its own. So in France, probably it's different with a centralized healthcare system, but I'm not sure. So, but why do we need better digitalization in acute medicine or acute care? It's relatively easy. So we have a high treatment intensity in acute care, and we have a huge amount of data. So we need systems that they can perform the high amount of data, especially in the VAR you have a high amount, and in the ICU it's less than in the intermediate care, normal VAR, rehabilitation. Altogether, we need the data in an electronic medical record. This is standard what we have today, and this has changed quite quickly because the performance was the biggest issue for these systems. So in a big hospital where I work, still we have a clinical information system. This is for the whole hospital, but then we have specialized system for anesthesia, NICU, ICU. This is patient data management system that can handle around 10,000 more data per second than a normal clinical information system. And of course, there are all the specialized systems like POCT system, which I speak a little bit now. But when we think about digitalization, it's a process. There's not only standalone software that helps, it must be along the process. It must be along the patient process, the treatment process, documentation process, and don't forget, we have to build to reimburse all the things. So this is just an easy, I try, way like a patient is coming as an outpatient, is admitted, has preoperative phase, goes to the OR, has something like a CABG, cardiac surgery or something, and a lot of blood gas analysis, come to the ICU, postoperative phase, and he goes home. For each phase, you have different requirements for the systems, for documentation. So in each phase, you have a lot of documentation, and this is the traditional systems now, especially in Switzerland, we are thinking to have new system that can everything, like in the United States. There are around 50% of all hospitals have still only one software, which is completely different in Europe. So we have the billing system, clinical information system, and so on. And you see all these processes, different systems, and we have a lot of interfaces with specialized systems. Huh? This is the real world, how we work here. I just can tell you, because this is the biggest university hospital where I work, we have around 500 softwares in the hospital, 500 softwares. And we have interfaces between, it's a nightmare, I can tell you. So it's not anymore to handle. And we think about if we want to solve it with a new software like in the United States, just do not have interfaces. So this is a little bit for introduction. So now we speak, I think it's important that we have a point of care and shared information. This is what we have. I came with the airplane, then it's normal. When you go home, it's also normal. But in the hospital, it's always difficult. So we need that for direct patient treatment, for the controlled treatment processes that we use, know what we use as a treatment resource. Of course, for the hospital administration also, and for research and teaching. Now we look a little bit at the system from Radiometer, first automatic, which I tell you a little bit. We have that since many years in Zurich, in Switzerland. So this is the system that handles also data of point of care testing. So how it is organized, the system, it's starting with the samples. These are already pre-barcoded samples coming from the company, so we don't have to do nothing, so we just take them out the box, go to the patient, and then the sample we can register at the bedside with a barcode. So we sample the sampler, the patient, and the operation. Then we bring the sample to the blood gas analyzer, and we can go away from there, and in the meantime, it's processed and it's coming back automatically, the data at the bedside, or via interface to every system you like, of course, to the EMR, electronic medical record. So it sounds relatively easy. We have that for many years, and that's a very good experience, so I just go a little bit step by step. So we have this sampler. You see it's pre-barcoded, so it's unique sampler. We know which sampler it is. It's important not to draw the blood too quickly, that we don't have turbulence or too much air in. And of course, there is a different solution when you want to puncture. This is not what we need quite often in anesthesia or ICU. It's more in the emergency room. And then you have to put the cap to close the sampler, and you have to tape the syringe that the bubbles come out, that we don't have too much air, and you press a little bit in the cap so it's completely filled. What is important, and we also look at that with the system, how many errors we have, because the quality, that we know what is the quality in the hospital. So the main problem is air bubbles still. We teach every week or a month. We have a point of care testing group, which I'm also in. So that's the main issue. So the nurses, they don't like really to check the bubble always. Then the mixing, we have not so many problems. But it's important that you measure it immediately after you have drawn the blood, especially if you have, for example, pleural effusion for lactate, and so it must be quite quick, the analysis. And then we put that on the analyzer where it's mixed again. So I just go a little bit through. So we have at every bedside, we have the software on the screen. It's a web-based software, and we have barcode readers. So it's absolutely not possible that we have problems to confuse patient or sampler ID, which is crucial. And the system is connected to the hospital system, so the patient master data are transmitted automatically via an IT interface. When then you go to the screen, there are three different fields. So we scan the patient ID, we scan also the operator ID and the syringe ID. And it's visualized when you have scanned it, it's getting back, so we know that all the three fields are scanned. So on the left, it's the person, in the middle, it's the operator, and on the right, then you see on the bottom the probe number. And if you have scanned correctly, you get the green confirmation message, and it's no rule with what you have to start. So the computer knows if it's the patient barcode, if it's the operator barcode, so they just can do as they want, our people. So if you miss something, you get a red error message. Here, for example, the patient ID was not scanned. Then it's difficult also if you bring the probe to the analyzer. But also if you forget, for example, the syringe ID, so you can bring the probe to the analyzer and you can analyze, but it's difficult then because it can't transmit the values to the electronic medical records, or because it's not known, for example, it's a So it's depending a little bit what is missing. So if the syringe is missing, that it's difficult because you cannot measure it automatically. But for example, when you have everything, then it's clear. But what I want to tell here, sorry, a little bit, I struggled a little bit, is it's not that if you miss something, it's not possible, because traditionally you just had the blood gas analysis, you went to the analyzer without any patient data, with any sampler data, so of course this is still possible. And then on this screen you see this is still on the bedside, then you can add information. And this is customized for each hospital. We have a lot of things here, for example, for ECMO, for hemofilters, dialysis, and so on. So you can predefine in your hospital what you need, type of sample, temperature, and so on. So if it's correct, then you can register. But I just wanted to tell you, this is a special case. We have scanned, but the patient is unknown. This is, for example, when the air ambulance is arriving at our hospital with a patient had an accident. We don't know the name of the patient. He got the ID. This is regulated in Switzerland, unique. So he has an ID, but it's no without name. So what is happening then? Of course, we can have the results, you can sample it, but it's not transmitted over your interface to the electronic medical record or back to the bedside. But as soon as the patient is known, the systems will be updated, centralized, and we get the data a little bit later than also in all the subsystems in the hospitals. So when you have scanned correctly and you have confirmed that the screen is switching automatically to the result part, then in the middle you have to wait here. It's a little bit turning like a clock, so it depends how long the analyzer has, and until you have the results. Now I have a small movie, but you should press on the right, on the top, on this here. I don't know if you see that. I think I can't press. I don't have a mouse here. So here, you should press here, please. No. So I go back again. Do you have a mouse you can click? If no, then because it's a full screen. Yeah, you just have to come here. Sorry for that. I thought I had a mouse here. Yes. So it's just a little bit summarized how it works. So we see it is scanned the operator, then the next is scan here is the patient. This is at the bedside, the screen with a scanner, and then it's a sampler, and then is the next screen where you can enter, for example, temperature or the oxygen fraction when you have a ventilated patient, and then it's registered. Then you see it's turning to green. And after some seconds, when the sample is on the analyzer, it changes to the result view. And then as soon as the result's here, you can confirm. We don't confirm because we believe or we know if it's a problem or not, because the system is going quite well. But you can have that you have to confirm the results. And then it's looking like that you have tabular view of the results. So this is the product of First Automatic from Radiometer itself. But we also send all this data to the electronic medical record of the hospital system. So a big question is when we introduce the system is, yes, that's nice that we have that the infrastructure at the bedside, which is also not cost a little bit. Does it help at the analyzer? Do we have to wait there? Then we realized no, because then we had the ABL 800 with the flex queue. So you can put here three blood gas analysis, and because everything is screened, you just can put there and you can go away. This is really a huge advantage for our ICU and anesthesia, because it's probably for you, it's not so much three probes, but for us to wait the nurses, this is really something from the best. We like that very much. So then, of course, there is also information on the analyzer, so you get feedbacks if everything is correct. So if the probe has registered correctly, then the name is coming from the hospital system, and then you see it's analyzed. So it's a closed loop system. You know all the time where you stay. These are the three main statuses. So you see on the analyzer for the three slots if a measurement is performed, then it turns to green. You see when the measurement will be started, how many time it has to wait until it's started, and then the pending. So all together with this system, we have a closed-loop communication system which starts directly at the bedside. I have to tell you, we really like it very much, and all the nurses, I also asked them yesterday, I said, I have to go for a lab, for this conference here. They said they couldn't imagine that they don't have it anymore because it's so easy. They just can not centralize, do their work at the bedside, and after then it's finished for them. So we have a sample assignment to the correct patient. We have correctly identified samples, and it's really, we even have no transmission errors. We also look at that, how many errors we have. It's approximately zero. And we have a complete data in the medical records, no paper anymore. And what is also important, at least in Switzerland, for billing, we do a lot of blood gas analysis, and we get the money now because it's digitalized. We don't have to wait before the analyzer. And also, we calculated how many analyzers do we need in the hospital, because when you can register the probe everywhere in the hospital, we don't need anymore so much analyzers. So this is also an advantage. I just show you a little bit from daily practice, probably from my ICU. I just looked at two patients a little bit to explain why it is so important for us that we have digitalized the data. So this is a patient, this is the electronic medical record. So you see, I have to show here, sorry. I thought you see my pointer. So this is 1 week. So we, from all the machines we have in Zurich, every minute there is coming a data point from the ventilator, from the syringe pumps and so on. So here you have the, so you can calculate how many data these are for a week. So this is the from a ventilator, from a patient with pneumonia who had ARDS, he's on the venous ECMO. So he see how much oxygen he needs. So in red, so it's around 50%. I have some different views. And then we have the ventilation cockpit for 1 week. So in green, you see the CO2, the entitled CO2 from the ventilator. You see a lot more than how invasive he ventilated. So have a look at the blood gas analysis. What we see here, you see, of course, you tell me I do a lot of blood gas analysis. Yes, we always think we do too much because now when we have digital trends, we always see it doesn't change so quickly. But it's still a traditional way how the nurses work. So we should try to reduce because we have now trends here. So, for example, here you see hyperlactatemia in the beginning. Then I know because I was there in this night, it was very difficult to ventilate the patient. So we were very invasively with high tidal volume. So the right ventricle, he deteriorated so that the lactate was increased. And this was the reason why we put it then in an ECMO here. So we had not to ventilate him so invasively. But what you see before, the CO2 was increasing dramatically. So we had the trouble, should we get out the CO2 or should we kill the heart? So we decided to put an ECMO and see how quickly it's coming down the PCO2 and what is doing the lactate after that. And after that, it was very boring. You see the whole time for 1 week, it's stable. We did a lot of analysis, but it's stable. But what is happening is the yellow one. This is the bicarbonate. So what you see here, you can imagine what happened. The kidney were deteriorating, and here we started with dialysis. So my people, they realize with this gas analysis, which is now in digital trends, how is going a dialysis, how is going an ECMO. So it is a completely different experience than you have on paper. Then you look step by step. It's just a little bit insight what we do with the digitalization. And as you can see, the oxygenation was quite stable. Then this is another patient. He's still on my ward. He's doing better. Fortunately, he had a severe sepsis because he had a cholangitis to a gallstone. When you look here, is the hemodynamics. That in red, you see the blood pressure. So this is condensed to 4 days. So this is extremely stable. You will tell me the blood pressure is always the same. But what we see here is the amount of catecholamines, which is sent from the syringe pumps. What we did, though, this was a huge amount. So it's built like when you are up here, it's crucially before dying. And you need less, so he's really improving. So we see in one view, okay, patient has stable blood pressure, he needs less catecholamines. I can tell the family, yes, he will come out of the ICU and come home. I know that from the trend. I don't know that on my shift. But if you look for the blood gas analysis, which is very interesting in this case, you see here in black, in yellow we measure fever, so see, you see that it's like everybody knows, fever is not so good. In the beginning he had fever, he had no fever. So in the blood gas analysis on the top, we measure to see how the lactate developed, so it is decreasing after 1 day, so it was really crucial. We did not know if the patient will survive. And then it was down, and here you see we had a second issue. This was when the gastroenterologist looked at the stent again, so we had some bacteria in the blood, so we see immediately how the lactate increased, and then it was decreasing, so we can say the patient is going home here. So we know it's improving everything. It's not always like that. Here, for example, the bicarbonate is stable, the trend, so we know, even we do not see the kidney parameters, we believe the kidney work adequate for this situation. So it's just one simple, beyond the only first automatic testing at the bedside, but for us it's crucial because we have the blood gas is assigned if it's arterial, venous, and it's extremely important that this is done correctly. Because if you have here venous blood gas analysis, it looks completely like a mess. So all the people, all the staff, they know that, and they can correct directly at the bedside or on the analyzer on the ward. So therefore it functions very well because they see immediately they're closed looped what they did. So just the last slide for AI. I know AI, everybody speaks about AI. Now it's here because the computers, they can calculate now and the power is here. So it's really, I also do a lot of ultrasound. In ultrasound, it's here for cardiac ultrasound. We would not have believed that 2 years ago. So it is one paper here, which was published 2 years ago. I just looked a little bit what is done by in POCT, and you can see they just looked with deep learning in thousands of blood gas analysis in Germany, in Tübingen, about 20 years. Just what are the trends? What is the correlation between electrolyte, metabolites, acid base, with patients who remain stable and patients who deteriorated or died in 8 hours, really very short time. And of course we know that if lactate is increasing, that's not good, but what tells us this story is that when you have this deep learning, you can then produce system that helps all the younger people, the inexperienced, and also for trends, and this is now what is coming. We don't know, we are very interested, but also a little bit afraid because the computer is telling that the patient will die quite probably. So this is what the story is now beginning with AI. So we will see where the story is going on. To summarize, with first automatic, it's a solution that helps improvement of treatment quality, especially through digitalization of documentation and communication. It increased the quality of treatment documentation, which is also important for legibility, traceability, and we had a huge amount of reduction of errors because we even have zero sample or patient confusion. The system controls us if we do that right. We have an optimization of process in the workflow, so we have automated data flows with interfaces to IT environments, so clinical information system, billing system, and it's more. We have also now quite higher efficient quality management. This is centralized, we can see that with the software, and we have a complete billing, which is for a huge hospital, a huge amount of money, even if it's only blood gas analysis. I can't tell you, I'm not allowed to tell you the amount what you're paying in Zurich for blood gas analysis. And in the end, for my crew, they like it very much because it's time savings, reduction of documentation. They don't have to write down things that's coming automatically to the bedside. So thank you very much. This is our hospital in Zurich, the old one, which is now renewed completely, and a small lake, not the sea like here. Greetings from Zurich. Thank you very much.